Light is a very dangerous thing. Now, why do I say that light is a very dangerous thing? Well, light is a dangerous thing because light reveals. Perhaps some of you have been in the position that I have been before. You wake up in the morning, it's time to go to work, it's time to go to school, you're half asleep. You fumble around in your closet for an outfit that you think will be appropriate for the day. You put it on. You stumble out of the house. You get to your office. You flip on the light of the office, or you walk into a brightly lit schoolroom, and suddenly you look at the clothes that you picked out. You look down at the pants that you picked out, and there's a big old stain right in those pants. You look down at the socks that you put on, and you really were sure when it was dark they matched. But they don't match at all. Or maybe you look at the rest of your outfit and you say, you know what, I really thought this shirt went with these pants. I really thought that this outfit matched, but it definitely does not match. Now, you've probably had that kind of experience or something like it, or maybe all of you sleep in so late in the morning that it's bright and you never have to worry about fumbling through clothes in darkness. But whatever it is, when you are confronted with the light of your office or the light of the day or the light of your schoolroom, you are now confronted with a decision. What is that decision? Well, here's one thing that you can do. You can simply decide, you know what, this shirt has a big old stain in it, and everyone who sees it is going to notice and is going to laugh at me, and I'm going to be humiliated, so I'm just going to wear a coat all day. No one's going to see that stain, it's going to be just fine. You might say, well, someone is going to walk by and see that, my socks don't match, my pants have a big stain in it. What's your other decision that you could make? To turn around and go home and put on a different outfit. You see, that's why light is dangerous, because light reveals defects. Light reveals problems with us that we are then confronted with the decision. Do I simply mask the defect? Do I simply cover it up? Do I simply pretend it's not there and go along in my life just like I always have? Or do I address the problem? Do I stop and take sometimes the uncomfortable step, sometimes the decision that I don't want anything to do with, but I need to take care of the problem? Light is a dangerous thing. Light was a dangerous thing for a man named Pharaoh. Light was a dangerous thing for a man named Pharaoh, as we read about this man in Exodus. Now, I look at some of you children that are here today, and you know who Pharaoh is, don't you? Now, I want to say this, and you say it along with me. God said, "Let my people go." Stubborn Pharaoh, he said, "No." You got it right the first time. No. Stubborn Pharaoh, he said, "No." Now, let me ask you this. God said, "Let my people go." Humbled Pharaoh, he said, "No." Go. We got to work on this one, folks. Sorry, that one didn't work out too well. We'll work with you kids a little more on this 10 plague song. But Pharaoh was a man who found light to be very dangerous. Because when he was confronted with the light of the command of God that said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh was confronted with a decision. Was he either going to say no, or was he going to say go? And we see here a very interesting question that God asks Pharaoh. And it's going to be the subject of our message here today. God, through his servant Moses, his servant Aaron, stands before Pharaoh. Pharaoh, who to this point has been resisting the light, who has been saying, "I want nothing to do with it. I will not let your people go. I will not obey you." God asks him a very interesting question. He says, "Pharaoh, how long Will you refuse to humble yourself before me? We know the end of the story. The end of the story is that Pharaoh and his people were crushed. Pharaoh and his people were destroyed. Pharaoh and his people were absolutely ravaged by the result of Pharaoh's pride and of his disobedience. The title of the message this morning is going to be Light Revealed, Light Rejected. Light revealed, light rejected, and through the picture of this man named Pharaoh, this man who refused to humble himself before God, the question that each one of us should ask ourselves is today God asking me, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let's talk first of all here about God revealing. God revealing, because we're going to see that God revealed himself to Pharaoh. He had a message to this man named Pharaoh. And if we're being honest with ourselves this morning, we'd admit that God is and has been revealing himself to us. Did you know what God's very nature is? His nature is to reveal himself to us. His nature is to say, hey, I am God, and this is what I'm like. God is not one who shrouds himself in darkness and mystery so that none of us know what he's like. No, God says, this is who I am. First of all, look at God revealing himself in an introduction. In an introduction, in turn, if you will, to Exodus chapter 5. Just a couple chapters back, Exodus chapter 5. Verse 1, it says that Moses and Aaron went in to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Now Pharaoh was the president, if you will, the king, the head ruler of a country called Egypt. And in that land of Egypt, there were slaves. And do you know who the slaves were? God's people. People that God had made a promise to hundreds of years before and said, one day I'm going to take you out of this land, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, and I'm going to give you your own land. You are my people. You are my special people. I've made promises to you as my people. So you can imagine here this nation called Egypt that has God's people under its thumb, King Pharaoh standing up and abusing these people, taking them for slaves and for servants. And God, through his leaders, Moses and Aaron, stands up before Pharaoh and say, hey, do you want to know who I am? I'm God. I'm the God of Israel. Now, friends, God makes himself apparent to all of us as well. Romans 1 says that any one of us can look up into the heavens, can look up into the sky, can look around us and see that there's a God. That's why Scripture says it's only the fool who says in his heart there is no God. The atheist is at his heart a fool. Why? Because we can see God around us. We see his power. We see his might. This world did not happen by chance. This world did not happen because there was a simple roll of the dice biologically or genetically and somehow the world came forth. No, there's a creator and his name is God. And God says to each one of us this morning, I am God. I am the God, and there is no one else beside me. So you see, in addition, though, God, secondly, showed himself to Pharaoh by illumination. He did not just say, I am God. He showed who he was. He said, let my people go, Pharaoh. And Pharaoh looks at him and says, who is the Lord? I don't know you. I know all these fake Egyptian gods. We have our own gods. I don't know this God of Israel. I don't know the God of the Hebrews. Who is this God? And we see then in chapter 5, in chapter 6, in chapter 7, in chapter 8, in chapter 9, in chapter 10 of Exodus, God is revealing himself to Pharaoh. He's saying, I am the Lord, and you should know a few things about me. What kind of things was he revealing to Pharaoh? He was revealing his power. as he brought plague after plague after plague into the land of Egypt. Some of you children sing about these plagues every week. What plagues? He turned the rivers bloody red. He sent thick darkness in the sky. He sent frogs into the land. He sent lice among the people. He sent all these plagues. And over again, he says to Pharaoh, do you know why I'm sending these plagues to you, Pharaoh? That you might know that I'm God. That was God's intent, that you might know who I am, that you might know that I am above you, that I am more powerful than you, and that I'm more powerful than your fake gods who don't exist here in Egypt. I am God. But do you know, third, that God revealed himself to Pharaoh in instruction. God revealed himself to Pharaoh by saying, here is what I want from you. I am God. There is none other like me. I want you to know who I am. And I'm going to tell you what I want you to do. Let my people go. Don't keep them as slaves anymore. Send them out. Send them out. I'm calling them out to their own land. This is time. Now, friends, if you want to have God illuminated to you, if you want to say, who is God? I don't understand who he is or what he wants from me. Then, friend, you haven't been reading this book. This book tells you who God is. Every single page of it is revealing God to you. It is God's letter to you. It is saying, hey, I'm God. Hey, you want to learn more about me? I'd like to meet you too. Why do we treat this book as if it's something to be held on a shelf, never to be looked at? Some of you, in perhaps an older day, before we communicated in Facebook messages and in emails and in texts, have some letters that your husband or your wife wrote to you when you were perhaps courting or dating. And you keep those letters, you bring them out, and you still read them. They're special to you. Why? Because it's someone that you love is telling you about them, and you want to relive that time. Friends, this is God's letter to you. This is God's book to you, who says, I am God. Let me tell you who I am and what I'm like, what I love and what I hate. But friends, this book does not just show you who God is. It reveals what God expects from you. It says, this is what I require of you. This is what I tell you to do and not to do. Now, friends, we are saved by faith. We are not saved by what we do or don't do. The works of the law can never get us to heaven because we always fail. We can never live up to God's perfect standard. And yet after I trust in Jesus Christ for salvation, do you know what the cry of our heart should be? Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? What words do you want me to use? What actions do you want me to do? What do you want me to stay away from in my life? And this book tells us. It says, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do this. This book tells us. We know of the Ten Commandments. We know what those are. They tell us, have no other gods before me. They say, don't put any image up of me because I am God, I am a spirit. Don't bow down and worship other gods. Don't have idols. Don't take the name of God in vain. Don't use my word as a curse word, as a word just to flippantly cast aside when you can't think of a better word to use. He says, honor my Sabbath day. Honor the day that I have set aside for the worship in God's house. Make that day special. He says, honor your father and mother. Obey those that I have put over you as your authority. He says, don't kill. Don't hate in your heart. Your life should be one that's marked by love. Do not steal what is not yours. Do not take what I have not given to you and take it for yourself. He said, do not commit adultery. Do not fall in the area of sexual sin. He said, I have reserved the sexual intimacy to be between a married man and a married woman. That's God's plan. And he says, don't violate that plan. This is what my plan is. This is what I have for you to do. He said, don't be false with your words. Don't be a liar. Don't bear false witness to someone else. Be honest in your words. He says, don't covet what someone else has. Don't look at them and be an envier. Be full of jealousy to say, I want what that person has. You see, God says, he tells you what he wants you to do. And he sums it all up for you when he says, what are the two greatest commandments? Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor just like you love yourself. That's how you can sum up all of God's commands for you. Love God, love each other. God says, that's what I have for you. He reveals himself to you, and he has revealed himself to you this morning through his word. So God reveals himself to Pharaoh just like he's revealing himself to us. And what is Pharaoh's response? We see, secondly, not just God revealing, we see Pharaoh refusing. Pharaoh refusing. What is the response of Pharaoh to God saying, "Hey, I'm God. Hey, this is what I want you to do"? What does Pharaoh say? Pharaoh's a stubborn kind of guy. Pharaoh is a hard-hearted kind of guy. Pharaoh's the kind of guy that says, "No, I'll do it my way, thank you very much. You know, I kind of like having these slaves here. I like their free labor. I like the bricks that they're making to build my cities. I'm just fine with that, God. Thank you very much. Why don't you butt out and let me do it my way?" Now, we need to understand what kind of reaction Pharaoh has here to see in what ways we react the same way. First of all, there's a confrontation. A confrontation. What is going on here? What happens when God says, "I am God, there's no one like me, now do what I say"? What is our reaction? Our reaction is so often to stand up and say, "Oh, really? Oh, God, you must have forgotten I'm the boss. I want to do what I want to do. God, you may tell me what to do, but that doesn't all the time match up with what I want to do." You see, there's a confrontation. Now, what a silly confrontation this is. We understand and see in our culture here the popularity of boxing, the popularity of MMA, the popularity of wrestling. What's the popularity based on? It's two people going head to head. It's confrontation. It's saying, "Okay, who's going to win? Am I stronger than you? Am I a better boxer than you? Well, let me bash your nose in and I'll show you who's stronger. You want to have MMA? You want to see my kick to the face, how that feels? Let's go." There's a kind of excitement about the confrontation, one-on-one, mano-a-mano. We're going to see who's the tough guy here. But can you imagine how silly that is for one of us puny little humans to stand up to God and say, "Hey, God, you want to go one-on-one? You want to box it out right now, God?" You imagine Pharaoh. He was probably the strongest. He was probably the most powerful man alive. He was the king of Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world. And he thought he could stand up to God and say, "Hey, God, guess what? No." What a foolish thing. What a foolish thing before the one who made the universe, whose power was to speak all the creation into existence. The one who, if you wanted, with one snap of his fingers, we would all be dead. We stand up against God and say, "God, no." You see, this confrontation was matched, secondly, by a combat. Pharaoh stands up to God. God says, "Let my people go. Do what I say." And he says to God, "Hey, how about no? No, God, I'm not going to let them go." Moses and Aaron come in and they say, hey, Pharaoh, if you don't do this, your river is going to become like blood. It's not going to be water anymore. It's going to be blood." He says, "Okay." Sure enough, the water becomes blood. Pharaoh's heart just gets harder. He says, "Okay, no, God, you want to fight? You want to fight? No, I'm going to keep on fighting." Sure enough, God comes back in, and Pharaoh's saying, he says, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh says, no, I'm not going to do that." God says, "Okay, well, there are going to be frogs infesting your entire country right now." Pharaoh hardens his heart. He again says, "Okay, God, let's keep on fighting. You've knocked me down, but I'm not done yet." God comes back into Pharaoh. He says, "Hey, Pharaoh, let my people go. I've told you over and over and again, let my people go. Pharaoh says, "No, I'm not ready. I'm the boss." God sends into his land lice and then flies and then kills his cattle and then boils all over the body and then hail coming down and then locusts filling the land until finally, the very last one, when Pharaoh's firstborn son is killed and the firstborn child of everyone in the land. You see, friends, it's very foolish to fight against God. It's very foolish to stand up and try to do one-on-one combat against what God tells you to do, because he's the powerful one. He will always win. His purposes will always succeed. There's not one person who can look up against Almighty God and say, "Hey, God, I'm going to pin a loss on you. I'm going to win." You're not going to win against God. You're going to lose. Pharaoh found that the hard way. Pharaoh found out through confrontation. Secondly, he found out through combat. You see, this light that was revealed to him, friends, this light that was before him, he looked at that light right in the eye and he said, "I don't want anything to do with it. Jesus said in John chapter 3, the condemnation, the judgment, the verdict of God against man is that light came into the world in Jesus Christ, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. What does that mean? It means simply this. When Jesus Christ comes in as the light of the world to lighten the pages of this Word of God, to tell you what God desires of you, to tell you how He's loved you and came to save you from your sins and to bring you to heaven to be with Him. And He says, repent of your sins, turn from where you're going and follow Me. Men say, no, I don't like that light because I'm the boss. I'm the one in charge of my life. And they love darkness rather than light. Friends, that's all the only verdict that God needs. Guilty. There's the judgment. Pharaoh's judgment was so severe. We'll look at that in just a moment, but I want to pull out something very interesting here. I want to talk third about the characteristic of this refusal. You see, did you notice what God asked Pharaoh when Pharaoh stood up to him and said, I will not do what you say? God says to him through Moses and Aaron, He says, how long will you refuse to obey me? Is that what he said? No, it's not what he said. He said, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? You see, what was at the root of Pharaoh's problem was not disobedience. Yes, that was the manifestation of his problem. That was the after effect of his deepest problem. But what was his deepest problem? It was pride. Now, this is something that's very challenging for us to think about, friend. It's very challenging for us to understand that when I stand up to God and I say, God, I know you want me to do this, but I'm going to do this. At the root cause of that issue is pride. Now, we oftentimes think of pride as simply someone who's a little bit snobby. We sometimes think of pride as being the person who just kind of walks around with their nose up in the air and is, I'm better than you, I'm holier than thou. We don't like that person. That person is very obnoxious. But do you know pride goes so far beneath just looking down on someone else? Do you know what the ultimate pride is? When you look at Almighty God and you say, God, I know better than you. God, I know what's going to make me happy. You don't. God, you told me not to do this, but guess what? I think I know better. That is pride. You know, friends, if we would step back for just a moment and stop making excuses for our own disobedience. If we would look at when we stumble into our own sin and we excuse it by saying it's just weakness, friend, more often than not, it's pride. You see, I look around at people that have been coming in to hear the Word of God preached for years. I see young people in this church that have grown up in this church who have heard from this pulpit and in their Sunday school classes and in their parents' houses week after week after week, hearing what God has for them. I look at some of you teenagers right here. And know that Miss Alicia's been teaching you what the Bible says to do and not to do. I look at some of you young men over here and know that Mr. Delaney, Bernard today, has been teaching you what the Bible says you should and should not do. And over again from this pulpit, what we have said is, thus saith the Lord, this is what I want from you. This is how what will satisfy you. This is what will make you happy. This is what you will find fulfillment in life. And this is thus saith the Lord. And friends, I don't care where you sit this morning. I don't care how long you've been in the Lord or what your profession is. When this week or next week or last week, whenever it is, you stand before God and you hear that voice in your head that says, don't do this, and you do it anyway, friend, it's pride. When you sit at that computer screen knowing what God says and you type in that URL or click on that link to take you to a site that is absolutely defiling and degraded, friend, don't call it weakness, call it pride, because you've decided that you know better than God. Friend, when you spend your time in a certain way, when you fall into sexual sin knowing that it's wrong, when you use your tongue in a way that you know is not right, when you put something in front of your eyes that you know will defile you and you know it's wrong, don't call it weakness. Don't excuse it in saying, well, I'm weak. Say, no, I'm proud. I'm proud because God said, thus saith the Lord, and I said no. Friend, the question for us is, how long will you refuse to humble yourself? It's the question that God asked from Pharaoh, and perhaps He asked it of someone here today. It's time to start obeying. It's time to start saying, God, you know best. Why? Why? Because the result of light revealed, God revealing himself to Pharaoh, the result of light rejected, of Pharaoh refusing to listen to God, was Pharaoh ruined. Pharaoh ruined. You see, the end result of this was catastrophic for Egypt. Egypt was destroyed. Egypt was brought to its knees, the most powerful nation on earth. And God won. God's people left. They were gone. Pharaoh didn't win. He lost. And friend, every time we stand up to Almighty God and in our own pride say, I know better than you, friend, you will lose. You will not win. Very quickly, three things about this ruin, three things that led to this ruin. First of all, this pride that led to this ruin was progressive. Progressive. It makes progress. Do you recognize here that Pharaoh's heart was hardened? Do you recognize here that Pharaoh said, no, God, I won't? And then he came back and God said, I'll give you another chance. And he said, no, God, I won't. And God came and gave him another chance and say, let my people go. And again, and again, and again, and again, until he was destroyed. You see, friend, there is a hardening of the heart that happens when we say no to God. We often think that, God, I will do this sin that I want to do, and I'll just say sorry, and we'll be all good, won't we? Well, God's ready to forgive you. He's ready to forgive anything you've done if you come to him by faith and you plead his blood, you ask his forgiveness. But friend, the danger is for Pharaoh is that when we say no to God here, it's going to be easier to say no to God the next time. And it's going to become easier to say it the next time and the next time and the next time until we find ourselves in a hole that we never would have felt and thought that we could be in. There was a famous preacher, very famous preacher, who fell into the most awful kind of sexual sin, sin with an underage girl that led him to be in jail right now today. How did he get there? Do you think he jumped in one day and said, all right, this is where I'm going? No. It's because one sin, one rebellion against God led to another until his heart was so hardened that he didn't see the escape. You see, friends, it's progressive. Do not harden your heart. Do not say no to God the first time, because the next time it will only be easier. It will only be easier. But you see, friends, secondly, this pride, this disaster for Pharaoh was permanent. It was not just progressive. It came to a point at which it was permanent, because Scripture says that after Pharaoh had hardened his heart over and over again, Scripture starts saying, God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart? That sounds cruel. That sounds horrible. That sounds awful. But friend, here's simply what it means. It means that when we set our conduct in one way, when we say no to God, no, 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 at some point God says, okay, go ahead. Go ahead. You want to run down this path? I'm going to stop putting roadblocks in your way. Keep on running. Keep on running to the doom that is in front of you. There's a judicial blindness, a judicial hardening of heart that God says, fine, have it your way. Friend, what a dangerous position to be in. That permanent pride that led to the utter ruin. But you see, friend, this is the reaction to light. You see, when God shows his light to you, Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. What it means is that there's no neutrality when it comes to light. You are either going to run toward the light, or you either are going to run away from the light toward darkness. You can't sit on the fence. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Are you going to follow the light of what he's given you, or are you going to follow the darkness? There's no other way. It's a very dangerous thing. Some of you children may also identify with this picture. If you go out into your backyard, you go out into another open place and you find a big stone. You find a big boulder that's there, and you pick that boulder up, or piece of wood that's laid there for weeks and months and years. You pick it up, and what do you see crawling around under there? You see all kind of bugs. What happens when they see the light? What do? They want to run. They want to hide. Why? Because they hate the light. They like darkness. The light is not what they like. But now, what happens when you go out at night? When you go out onto your front porch and that outdoor light is on in a summer night in Minneapolis, what's circling around, flying around that light? Moths, moths, bugs. Why? Because those are the two natures. You're either going to run toward the light or you're going to run away from it. And it's true of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace on the earth. I came to bring a sword. I came to divide. You're going one way or you're going the other way. Friend, which way are you going today? Which way are you going? Because the end result is not only this progressive pride, it's not only this, in the end, permanent pride, but third, it is a punished pride. The one who goes to darkness is the one who is destroyed. Proverbs tells that for us. Proverbs tells us that he who being often reproved, there's light. There's the light that says this is what's right, this is what's wrong. The one who being often reproved hardens his neck. What does that mean? It just means get stubborn, says I'm not going to listen. Shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Friends, there may be someone here today who's heard over and over and over again the story of who Jesus Christ is, how he came to save you, how he came to forgive your sins and to bring you to heaven to be with God. He is the light of the world. And you've looked at that light over and over again and you've never accepted it. Friend, you don't know how long that light will be available to you. You don't know how long God will give you to accept that light until you are cast into darkness, the darkness that you have chosen forever. Oh, friend, go to Jesus Christ today. Flee to the light. Run to it. Grab onto it. Say, I'm going to take the light that I've been given. I'm going to trust Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and to take me to heaven to be with him forever. But I also speak to some of you Christians today, those of you who call yourself by the name of Jesus Christ, and yet the Holy Spirit has shown you areas in your life that you know are violating God's plan for you. You're living against the light. You hear that voice in your head that says no, and you say yes. You're fighting against God. Friend, Paul's fear was that one day he would be a castaway if he walked away from that light. That one day that darkness that would be to him would be the end of his usefulness for Jesus Christ. Today, God may be saying the same thing to you. How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? How long will you refuse to submit to my way, to my path? Friends, see the story of Pharaoh today. It's not an example to be followed. That kind of confrontation, that kind of combat, that kind of characteristic pride against Almighty God that says, I know you have said this, but I will do this. It's a very dangerous place because it leads to destruction. Friends, what has the light revealed for you this morning? What is the light shown about your life that needs to change this morning? What is the light of the Holy Spirit shined as a flashlight into your life, and God has tapped you on the shoulder and he has given you some instruction this morning? Oh, I pray that you will not leave here in confrontation against Almighty God, but that even this morning you will humble yourself. You will repent of that which God has brought to the light and say, fine, I surrender all. I give it up. It's not worth fighting against you for. It's not worth being destroyed for. It's not worth it. May today be the day of humility. May today be the day of salvation. Let's pray. Oh, Father, what a dangerous thing it is to resist the light. As Jesus Christ said, if the light that is in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? Oh, Father, our heart and your heart is that not one person in this place would end up one day in that eternal darkness. Lord, thank you for that Jesus Christ is the light of the world, though he who came to bring light, to light the darkness of every one of us. Oh, I pray that even today someone would come to the light. I pray that they would be saved. I pray for the Christian here today that needs to repent of an area of pride, of disobedience in their life. May today be the day of repentance as well. With our head bowed, our eyes closed, we give a moment at the end of every morning service. If someone has a decision to make, if someone is looking to come to the light this morning, we invite you to slip out from where you're sitting, come and kneel at these steps. Someone will take a Bible, open that Bible, the light to our feet, the lamp, and show you how you can be saved. How that light can light up your soul today. Is there anyone that would come and say, I'm tired of resisting the darkness. I'm coming to the light today. Is there anyone else who would come this morning? Say, I'm tired of resisting God. I'm tired of going against what He says. I need to get right with Him. Oh, Father, thank You for Your work. May each one of us let You have Your way in us. Even today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand for the closing grace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.